to Everything Fraser Coast. I'm Jussie Lindeberg, your host, and thank you for joining me on this journey of positive storytelling. Today I've got two very special guests. I've got Trevor Bolton. Hi, Trevor.
Hello.
And Annie Bolton.
Hello.
Hello. The love children of Michael Bolton.
Yes. Yes. He claims us. Yeah.
Oh, that's how I can remember your last name, to be totally honest. The crooner. Like a lot of people, you've entered my life through contacting me or sharing something through the Facebook group. And I thought your story sounds like a really positive one and interesting to share. I don't usually know much about people when they come to chat with me, and that's why we do our little speed dating before we do a podcast. But I've not once yet been disappointed or misjudged, that I've got a pretty good radar for a positive story. So
it was a dud date. I didn't get flowers.
Oh, Michael. Trevor. Can I just say something? When you first got to my home, when you first came to my studio, Trevor.
Yes.
You said that I'm man-starved. Why do you say that?
Because I'm a regular listener to your podcast, and it's something that seems to be quite high on your mind.
Well, the truth is that I like to have a bit of a laugh, and I am using the vision impairment to my full benefit in squeezing shoulders and...
Oh, you can touch things that other people can't, and you can get away with it.
It gets me into places.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I got to get a photo in the fire station with the fire truck. I got picked up
by... What about the fireys?
I got picked up... Well, I saved... I actually didn't get a photo with the fireys because to save identities because we were breaking the rules. So I didn't say which station it was at. And... picked up by Captain America. Anyway, that's why I just wondered. I just wanted to clarify.
So you're doing it again.
What am I doing?
Thinking about blokes.
Hey, I've got a new bloke living with me. His name's Michael and he's my new putty cat.
Oh, lovely.
Nice.
Yeah, so he's the only other male I need in the home. Okay, so back on to you. This isn't about me. This is about you two. So tell me, have you always lived in the Fraser Coast region?
No, we moved up from the Gold Coast about 24 years ago, 23, 24 years ago.
Oh, wow. You've been sharing your stories for the last two decades at least, Australia-wide, and helping people from early childhood to adults.
Yes.
So... would you like to tell me a little bit, or tell the listeners a little bit about your book, and then we'll just start talking, we'll have a bit of a chat about your own journeys. Does that sound okay?
Yes.
Yeah, we found there was a great need for sort of down-to-earth, plain English explanations of some of the things that cause mental health problems. There's a lot of information out there about what to do when you have schizophrenia and what to do with... bipolar and how to handle the symptoms and what medication to take. But there's nothing much about the causes or the things that can reduce your resilience and get you into negative and depressive and anxious thoughts and all that. So we, having had mental health problems ourselves early in life, we recognised the things that we weren't doing that actually contributed to the problem.
And a lot of parents, when their children are unwell or when loved ones are unwell, don't know what to do to really support them. They're aware of symptoms and aware of behaviours that are different. But other than, you know, seeking help through a doctor or a psychiatrist, psychologist, they're really a bit lost at sea.
Yeah, right. So sharing your own perspective and your own lived experiences is helping other people. So how is the book written? Is it a journal, so to speak, or...?
Actually, it's 30 individual topics, which sounds daunting, but it starts... Actually, it's modelled on Maslow's hierarchy of human needs, and the bottom part of the triangle is things, the basics of human existence. It's food, water, sleep and safety. So we help people see that if they don't have all those things firmly in place, that they won't be able to study properly, they won't have proper relations with people, they will be in pretty much survival mode, and they won't be able to contribute to the community or whatever. So even though it's the foundation, it doesn't mean that once you've got that foundation that life will be, you know, you'll have optimum mental health or any, what does Maslow call the top of?
Self-actualization.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So, and it's a continual journey up and down as things happen in life. You know, there might be a grieving, or there might be, you might be grieving losing a job or a relationship, or you might stop eating properly and slide back down to the bottom of the triangle and have to work your way back up again.
Yeah, so you're basically saying that the ups and downs in life, we are progressing up and down through that Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Oh, not even every day, every few minutes.
Yeah, it can be. I totally get what you're saying.
Mm.
And understanding that nutrition feeds our brain, like 20% of our brain's 2% of our body weight, but it uses 20 to 25% of our energy intake. So most of the nutrition that we take in goes to feed our brain. Most of the fluid that we take in goes to all across our body. So water, hydration is extremely important as well to keep a healthy brain.
Well, our brain's 80% water, so what would be a good thing to drink?
Yeah. And sleep is paramount. Scientists recently found that, you know, the main purpose of sleep is to actually wash the toxins from our brain. We have a lymphatic system in our body that gets rid of toxins, but our brain's kept separate. It needs to keep safe because it's running all of our body.
Yep.
And sleep's main purpose is to flush toxins. So sleep is paramount to everything that we do, and technology is interrupting so many of our, not just our young people, but so many of parents' sleep.
So you mentioned earlier that you've lived experience with many years ago having both struggled with mental illness. Have you been able to reflect some of your own experiences in your story, in your book?
Yes, every page, every topic has a paragraph at the bottom of how I've experienced that, or Annie's experienced it. We just wanted to make it quite clear to the listeners that Annie and I didn't know each other at the time, didn't drive each other crazy. We were crazy long before that.
We actually helped each other when we got married.
Well, before we started recording, you said Annie said Annie would get sad and Trevor would get naughty.
Highly stressed is probably a better word than naughty.
But I did the typical man thing, and that was, I wouldn't know what was wrong, but I'd withdraw, and Annie would be trying to find out what was wrong, and I wouldn't know what was wrong. So 3 days later, I'd realise how I'd been offended and or whatever.
When you're low, you get sad, but when Trevor was low, he was naughty.
And so stressed.
Oh, and stressed.
I think that the beauty of our relationship from very early on was that when we first met, we were really just mates, and we just somehow or other intuitively knew each other and accepted each other as we were. And I didn't know anything about Trev's mental health problems, and he didn't really know anything about mine. And I think the beauty of our relationship was that we just accepted each other, and there was no illness, in inverted commas, involved. And we, through that, by not trying to fix each other or being aware that there was something wrong, we grew in wholeness together to the point where we have a beautiful son, and we raised our son along the lines of what's in our book. And he came into a lot of classrooms when we were doing classroom presentations, and he's a beautiful young man now, and very balanced, and
Because the Fraser Coast are listening, we won't mention that he's Dan Bolton, well known as a muso in the area.
Oh, is he? Oh, maybe I could do a podcast with him.
he's not playing at the moment.
Yeah. You talk about how you've accepted each other, but how important is that acceptance in being able to move forward, whether it's your own self-acceptance of the journey you've had, or even your partner having acceptance of you as a whole person with your, you know, baggage or whatever, you as a whole person, is it important?
I think it's paramount, actually.
Yeah, human beings aren't built to travel alone. We need to be part of a tribe, and if we can have a relationship with an individual person, that's even better.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Trevor. Mm. What I'd also like to ask you is, so going back to before you met, what sort of path were you both on there? Were you...
Can I interrupt with my answer to the question you didn't ask?
Yes.
I was self-medicating with Dr. Foster's. He used to make really nice beer.
Yeah.
And not long after I was released from the psychiatric place in Melbourne, my medication was beer and cigarettes.
My past, I guess I grew up thinking, I was a hairdresser by trade, so I grew up with a trade and thinking that, you know, work was an important part of my life, but also thinking that so was marriage. And I found myself, before I was 30, having been married twice. And my work was my addiction. I looked great. I had a very successful business. I drove a sports car. I owned my own home. But I was broken on the inside. So work was my escape, and work was where I got my validation. And when I had my breakdown, I realised that none of the things that ought to have been supporting me in my life were. And I found myself totally isolated. And in those days, 30 years ago, didn't even realise that there was such a thing as counselling or help or support. So I spent the next 3 years of my life crying and basically trying to cope with some sort of part-time work.
The path that you've both lived, in my very lucky and blessed position of doing this podcast, is a story that I am hearing all the time. And it's not exactly the same story, but what is obvious to me, which I would never, ever have known if I hadn't started doing the podcast, is everybody has highs and lows. And it's like Trevor, you were telling me earlier, it's about the resilience on how you can cope with those highs and lows.
Yes.
And you know, that moving of Maslow's hierarchy needs up and down is the difference, I guess, in individuals. And so I guess what I'm trying to say, and I hope you can support this, is there's actually a lot of comfort in knowing that if you are struggling and you need to ask for help, or you'd like to ask for help but don't know how to, or even you'd like to read a book or get some help some way, you're one of the majority. You're actually in a majority, you just don't realise it.
Well, you have a lot of high achievers on this podcast, and the story of high achievers is generally that they have pretty severe mood swings, and when they're up, they take on the world and achieve an awful lot, and you don't see the times when they're really down and can't get out of the bed for 3 days. Then they go through the cycle again and up and away. But you listen to a lot of people's life stories who have built businesses, and the pain isn't obvious from the outside, and the things that they've gone through, all you see is the achievement. But
yeah, well, also very gifted at masking.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's part of it, isn't it?
Yeah. So earlier you were also telling me that you did, so you've done coaching in the school environment.
Oh, the Amazing Brain Show.
Yeah,
we started off in high schools talking about mental illness, and realised that we were creating the problem in that we were telling them about, that a lot of people would self-diagnose and go, they're not teenage mood swings, I must be bipolar because I go up and down. And so then we went to primary schools, because in high school all the a lot of the patterns were set and the behaviours were all set. So we went to primary schools, and then we found, guess what, it was too late again. So then we went to early childhood doing professional development for educators, and eventually started doing the Amazing Brain Show for the 3 to 5 year olds, talking about, we established the Brain Health Education Institute, and we would talk about their brain as being equivalent to 200 million iPads. That's how powerful it is. And if you stack iPads one on top of the other all the way to the moon, that's how smart their brain was.
Wow. What was the response?
Wow.
Whoa.
And they,
I love
how
you put it in terms that they can understand.
And when they realised what their brain was doing, like it was, they didn't have to wake up in the morning and mum would tell them to start breathing again or to get their heart going. Their brain's doing that all of the time. And it's making wee and poo, and it's doing perspiration to keep your body stable, and it's growing hair and looking after your kidneys and putting acid in your stomach. We have an amazing piece of equipment.
Oh my gosh, I'm getting tired now thinking about
it. Yeah, well, you don't have to. It does it automatically. But that's why you really need to look after your brain, that it does require maintenance. It requires sleep. It requires good fuel, so fruit and vegetables and
fish. Can I just add in there, fish is one of the best foods for our brain, and fish is the only thing that Trev takes now.
Yeah, that's my medication, a can of sardines. Whenever I know that when there's a can of sardines put in front of me, that I must have been a naughty boy.
Not naughty, no, that's not the right word.
Oh, I laugh because I know sitting on my kitchen bench behind you is about 3 cans of sardines.
Right.
And you know, every person that we've told that to who has tried it, either they themselves have a mental health concern or they have a loved one with a mental health concern, every person that has tried that says that it makes a huge difference.
You mean eating the sardines?
Yes, eating fish or salmon, sardines.
Well, I'm sorry. I bought the sardines for Michael, the new male love of my life, our cat.
Oh, very clever cat.
And he didn't like them, but my son has been eating the sardines, so he loves them. So.
And does your cat have mood swings? You find he's angry sometimes?
No, he's very chilled. He's very relaxed. Actually, so is my son.
Right. Good. Can I just say there,
please,
just linking food, water and sleep with my breakdown, the further I moved along into moving into having a breakdown, the less I ate. I drank a lot more coffee at that stage. I did smoke cigarettes, and I didn't drink any water. I drank a lot of coffee, and I wasn't sleeping. And that helped to propel me further and further down a paranoid track, which eventually led to a psychotic episode.
Yeah.
So they're the key things that people can do to ensure that their loved ones keep that as a reasonably healthy baseline.
So the best thing is to talk to your children.
Definitely.
Talk to your family and support unconditionally.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's hard sometimes, but.
Well, I want to get a caravan and follow my kids to Brisbane when they go to uni. I'm sitting outside.
Yelling out, eat your veggies, go to bed early, drink
mom,
some
you're
water.
So weird. Why do we have to be such a weird mum? Mm. Well, I think I'm normal, actually.
Yes.
I think so. And I don't think that finishes, even when your kids do grow up and get married. I think we continually have concerns about our kids. We want them to be happy, and I think that's the bottom line for all of us. You know, we might place a lot of pressure on our children to succeed. When it really comes down to its core level, we just want our kids to be happy.
What have you got there, Trevor?
I'm just going to go through Maslow quickly, the 5 steps. So we start with eat vegetables, drink water and sleep well. Next one, find and join a tribe. Now that might be a Richmond supporter. Collingwood, not recommended.
Oh, no, goodness gracious me, the Victorian's coming out in you.
It is.
Can you associate it with rugby league?
No. No.
Broncos, I guess.
So the next step up is be who you really are. You know, get to a place where you can be honest and open and...
It's me.
Yes.
You and probably have a whole range of people listening to your podcast that are part of Juzzy's tribe.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, a podcast can be a tribe. The next step up is give back.
Oh, that's me.
Yes, giving back. This is your this is the purpose of the podcast, I know. And the top of it is optimum mental health or self-actualization,
yep.
Which means nothing.
Yeah, what does that actually mean?
Nobody's really sure.
It means that you can be all that you were designed to be.
Yeah.
Oh.
All that you can be.
Okay.
But that's not an attaining state. It's a continual progressing state that we are working toward all our lives, because ideally we all want to grow and change and become who we're meant to be.
Now, when you held your book up then, and I actually could see it a bit better because you brought it closer to me, is that a baby photo of you on the front there, Trevor? Is that?
It's not his and it's not mine.
Okay, like I can't see faces, but I can see the big eyes on that. And
it's a beautiful photo, isn't it? And his little bottom lip's tucked in under his top lip,
and
he's
got a little bit of
dribble, and he's almost going to cry.
And the title of the book is How to Protect a Child's Mental Health.
Okay, so where can we get this book? Because it sounds like
at the moment in Harvey Bay, the little art shop in Torquay,
near
the front room, on the Fraser Coast. You can get it on our website, holisticmentalhealth.com.au, and Amazon.
You're on Amazon as well?
Yeah, outside Australia, Amazon. We have it as a printed book. We had it printed. We got prices on printing all over Australia and found that Zip Print in Maryborough were the absolute winners and terrific people to deal with.
Fabulous. Go and Zip Print.
Excellent quality as well.
Happy to talk to Zip Print. That's got to be a good little story to share.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're
Stacey and Kendall, amazing, okay. Lovely people.
Yeah, they're retired paramedics. They nice. For a life less stressful, they went to printing. Sad move.
I can't even think of anything witty to say to that. Yep.
But yeah, it's a printed book. We have a PDF version on our website, holisticmentalhealth.com.au, and we also have a Kindle version on Amazon, and it's available as print on demand anywhere in the world through Amazon.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing a bit of your story. I wish you both the very best success with your book launch, it's launched now, and as you continue to promote it around the world. I'd like to read it. I can't wait to read it. I think I'll pick up a lot of good tips out of it. And
we'll leave you a PDF version. You can zoom right into it.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
One last thing. If anyone would like to just have a chat to us to air some of their concerns, we're not therapists, we're not counsellors, but we're more than happy to have a chat to anybody about anything.
From a support book, support group perspective.
Yes. Yeah, and to share some of the things from our book.
Yeah.
So...
Is the best way to get in touch with you through your website?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you got a Facebook group?
Yes.
Yep.
So yeah, Holistic Mental Health.
Yeah, so just a direct message that
yes.
way.
Mm.
So thank you very much.
And thank you, Juzzy. It's been fun.
I will keep in touch with you.